From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the fourth day of January 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity market with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And then later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, USDA is streamlining farm program eligibility rules. The IRS is working to block the wealthiest Americans from receiving farm subsidies. And the Canadian National Railway, says the government to our north, earned too much money hauling grain in the last marketing year. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour. And don't forget, in just 26 minutes as we close our program out, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. And it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished like this. In the nearby soft red winter wheat pit, the March contract at $5.57¾ gained 16¼ cents. The May at $5.70¾ up 15¾. And July wheat at $5.81¾ up 15¾. March hard red in Kansas City settled at $5.50¾ up 14½ cents today. The green continued in the corn pit, where the March contract, a gain of 4 cents today, settled at $4.18½. March corn up 4. May futures at $4.28¾, 4½ higher. July at $4.37 up 4 cents, September at $4.41 up 3½, and December futures in the corn pit at $4.45¼, a settlement price up 4½ cents. January soybean futures today at $10.49½ up 9¾, the March at $10.58, 9½ higher, May at $10.62½ up 8¾, and July at $10.67 up 7¾, November bean settled at $10.20 up 5¾, January bean meal at $3.60. Teen up 210, oil 55 higher at 40.90 on the afternoon. February live cattle 85.37½, down 80 cents today. The January feeders at 95.87½, up 2½ cents. And the February lean hog future settled the afternoon at $65.85, 25 cents higher. You are listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, a settlement price at $81.51 a barrel. And the nearby February contract, $2.15 higher. January at ethanol at $1.96½, up $0.015. And the natural gas at $5.86 6¢, 29¼ cents higher. Arbob gasoline at $2.10 9¢, up 5¢ 6¢. And the heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.19 4¢, up 7¢ 8¢ today. January gold futures at $1,117.17, a settlement price $22.50 higher. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading at this hour at 170 points higher at 10,597. The U.S. dollar at 77.52, down 0.33. And the CRB index on the afternoon, a settlement price there at 289.34. up 5.96 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast with the two-state region looks like. From our own Mike Sonsola, he says this afternoon in northern and eastern Indiana, mostly cloudy, some snow showers, some snow squalls. In southern sections, mostly sunny, elsewhere partly to cloudy and bitterly cold, of course, this afternoon. Highs will range from 10 in the far north to 25 near Lake Michigan tonight. In northern Indiana, mostly cloudy, a few snow flurries, some showers there. Elsewhere, partly cloudy and bitterly cold. Lows will range this evening from 9 below zero in the far north to 19 near Lake Michigan. And then tomorrow in northern Indiana, mostly cloudy, a few snow showers, a few flurries as well. Elsewhere, partly to mostly cloudy. Highs will range tomorrow from 10 in the northwestern parts of Illinois to 26 in the south. The extended forecast says temps will remain below average over the Midwest for the next 8 to 14 days. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the hour and talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Monday afternoon. On the line with us today to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural markets on this very first trading day of the year, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He serves as their senior grains analyst. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Oh, we started the day strong and then faded, but came back and finished in the green.
Yeah, we made the high early and trended lower most of the session. Had little ups and downs there, but there for a while it looked like maybe we made the highs for the year early in trade, and hate to see a lower close. That'd been a pretty good hook reversal down for the first day of the year. But fun buying came in, supported the market overnight, and even during today's session, they estimated funds by about 4,000 contracts of wheat and 7,000 contracts of corn and about 5,000 contracts of beans. There was estimates of funds needed to buy anywhere from 50 to 57,000 contracts of corn and 16,000 to 18,000 contracts of beans and wheat together. So a lot is anticipated. Hopefully, we did not see the market buy the rumor and turn around and sell the fact. Market did manage to go test some resistance and kind of failed there. Then we saw some profit taking and pick up in country movement, a little hedge pressure. Pushed the market lower until about 5 minutes ago. Then we saw some speculative buying come in at the last second there to keep us in the green, like you said there, Todd.
Yeah, so we started the day off. The funds were in and the buyers. I take it the commercials were probably the sellers. Is that right? And then we had the hedgers come in.
Yeah, I think it was a combination of those. And a little bit of speculative profit-taking because for the last 3 weeks we've talked about reallocating funds around. It's fairly simple when you look at portfolio managers and how they think longer term for, say, a lot of the popular trend now is to put money into undervalued assets. And what I mean by that is you sort of take maybe the five-year average or so or some type of long-term benchmark to go by. And when you look at upside potential, well, energies are pretty well overvalued or up the upper end of the range, whereas the grains are not quite as overvalued as the energies. Then, two, with talk of position limits and so forth, we're seeing some shuffling around. And so we're seeing the agriculture side sort of be benefited by this as the speculative crowd comes in and pushes the market higher. Now, the key is keep the trend going. And as a producer, by all means, take advantage of the speculative money coming in because things could change in a hurry.
Let's talk about the weather forecast and the way it impacted things in Chicago, and that means we need to look at the livestock. In the hogs, futures were higher, but mostly that was on the really cold weather right here in the Midwest.
Yeah, we see some frigid temperatures around. Anybody that has livestock, my hat goes off to them because I grew up 4-H and FFA, and we there's many days we had to carry some water around due to water troughs freezing up. But, yeah, we've seen some good strength in the hog complex here from last fall, and we saw a correction. But the up move here is on this forecast we've seen here over the last week. A lot of this anticipation of cold weather and also the bullish or positive, I should say, hog and pig report showing less numbers. We'll see how the weather goes here for the next few days, but exports of pork are picking up. Producers have pulled forward numbers for say, so we kind of feel that hogs are going to find support and breaks in here, but probably the most explosive commodity is in the meat sector here in 2010, and that's the cattle complex as the trade gets a grasp on smaller numbers as we go through the year.
Tell me more about that, please.
Well, we're looking at one of the smallest cattle herds in history since the 1950s here in the U.S. We've seen feeders feed heavier weights. We still have quite a bit of tonnage on the market place here, but we feel we're sort of eating through the supply that we have in coal storage. And once we get this supply pretty well cleaned up, that we're going to see the smaller numbers start to kick in as a factor as we go into late summer in here. So we feel that the livestock values and the cattle side is undervalued compared to the rest of the agricultural products.
Let's go back to the grains very quickly. Did you get a look at those grain export inspection figures this morning?
That might kept a little bit of lid on it, because if you look at the tick chart there, we recorded the highs, you know, around that time. But
right.
Wheat exports 9 million bushel, corn 20, beans 32. But you got to remember, that's a holiday week, and to get somebody to work during holiday week might be a struggle. But we kind of feel these shipments are going to pick up here, you know, as time goes on, and that we'll see bean side stay strong, because we've got a lot of beans on the books, and Asia does want to see those beans come into their country. So next week numbers are going to be a little bit better, and the sales is what we got to watch. Corn sales are not quite as good as last year, and wheat sales are lagging quite a bit. So we got to get the corn and wheat sales to pick up momentum. And the bean sales, they'll typically tail off here as we get into February, March, as Asia picks up the South American crop.
Any final thoughts before I let you go for the afternoon?
A lot of ups and downs. We feel it's more of a trading mode here, so when the market's up and you're feeling good about it, we look at it from a two producer's point of view to do a little bit of marketing, and when it's down and out and you don't think it's any good, it's probably time to replace ownership on paper, Todd.
All right. Thanks so much.
Bye.
Mm-hmm. And that is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Monday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
If you'd like to hear what Kurt had to say again, you can always do that on our phone line. We update it with the numbers and a bit of analysis at 10:15 and 3:15 daily. The phone number to call is 217-333-3434. Now here's Dave with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, USDA says it is streamlining eligibility rules to benefit family-run operations, which can include corporations beginning with 2010 crops. USDA also says it has finalized an agreement with the Internal Revenue Service to verify that farm subsidies are not paid to the wealthiest Americans. USDA announced the initiative on March 19th of last year. The new rule allows members to collect farm subsidies if at least half of them provide significant labor and management, and if total subsidies do not exceed $40,000. In the wake of the decision by the Taiwanese parliament to approve legislation that would curb imports of some U.S. beef products, the president is considering sending a team of his cabinet officials to Washington to explain the expected shift in policy and to try to soften any retaliatory blow the U.S. may be considering. Parliament is scheduled to vote on the measure on January 5th. One possible victim of the dispute is a free trade agreement that is being negotiated by the two nations. Last week, Taiwan's economic affairs minister told Parliament that the government was putting off indefinitely any FTA discussions with the United States. CME Group has fined Rosenthal Collins Group $250,000 for trading a soybean futures contract after it had expired. The exchange found that the violation occurred when a Rosenthal Collins customer held a short September 2008 soybean futures position beyond contract expiration. At the time, there was a severe shortage of deliverable soybeans in the cash market due to hurricane activity in the Gulf of Mexico, and the firm was unable to obtain shipping certificates to meet its delivery obligations. The $250,000 fine was in response to a settlement offer from Rosenthal Collins, in which the brokerage firm, quote, neither admitted nor denied the findings. And Canada has ruled that Canadian National Railway earned too much money from hauling grain in the 2008-2009 crop year and ordered it to pay more than $667,000. CN has 30 days to pay the amount, which includes a 5% penalty. The government requires such payments to go to the Western Grains Research Foundation. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of this program and of Commodity Week. You can hear both of them and other agricultural programming on our website anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. Now up next, you know the University of Illinois Corn and Soybean Classic series of meetings is happening this week and next week. I'll be on the road with the production specialist and hope to see you at one of the meetings. The details are coming up. The Classic is designed to meet a couple of very specific needs. First and most importantly, it brings the on-campus specialist from the University of Illinois in Urbana out into the field. That is, the specialists load up and make a tour of the state to meet and talk with farmers and other agri-professionals. The list includes University of Illinois Extension nematologist Terry Niblack, among others, says Mike Gray. Gray is an Extension entomologist and helps to organize the event.
We will cover a range of topics, including how to manage corn nematodes most effectively. We'll have Daryl Good and Gary Schnitke, professors on campus, talk about forecasting corn and soybean yields, looking at models for 2009, covering the overall topic of grain farm profitability. Emerson Nafziger, our corn production specialist, will be discussing corn traits, and there's no question about it with all the interest in stacks and BT. How do these hybrids perform in many of the yield trials that Emerson provides leadership for? Aaron Hager, our weed scientist, will offer some thoughts on what tomorrow holds with regard to managing weeds and the potential for resistance development. And Carl Bradley, our plant pathologist, will talk about how we started out with a very wet year and in it, and finished with also problems and challenges from the disease perspective. And then I will also spend some time talking about the excitement and discussion that's been generated with regard to the SmartStax hybrids and the 5% refuge, and how producers are reacting to some of these new refuge requirements.
That was Mike Gray talking about some of the presentations being made this week at the University of Illinois Corn and Soybean Classics, scheduled for sites all across the state. Walk-ins, of course, are always welcomed at each site. Registration opens at 8 a.m. at a cost of $75. Corn and Soybean Classics are scheduled for the following dates: January the 6th in Mount Vernon at the Holiday Inn, January the 8th, that's a Friday, in Champaign at the I Hotel, January the 11th in Springfield at the Crown Plaza, the 12th in Bloomington at the Doubletree, January 13th on a Wednesday in Moline at the I Wireless Center, and the series wraps up on Thursday, January the 14th at Kishwaukee College in Malta, Illinois. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from the Westchester Group in Champaign, an agricultural asset management firm specializing in the acquisition, management, and disposition of agricultural investments for institutional, corporate, and individual clients. Information at 800-607-6888 or at westchester-group.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. It's a Monday afternoon. Time to check now what's been happening in the world of the agricultural cash grain market. Brian Stark of the Andersons is online with us today from right here in Champaign County. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Todd.
It's cold. You got people outside today?
No, we've got them, but we're trying to keep them as warm as possible. It's slow-moving day, no doubt.
What are you doing there at the elevator?
Well, obviously, we're in the process of obviously moving grain both inbound and outbound, so that's typical around the new year. And that continues, and obviously we've still got some producers that are bringing grain in out of the field. So just a harvest that doesn't quite seem to want to end.
I know there are a few fields within, two or three miles of the elevator, one that looks really good on 150 and one that looks not so good. So tell me about the corn that you're getting. Is it still in okay shape?
Yeah, the quality's fine. I think obviously the troublesome part comes for the producer that has to harvest it. Now it's a lot of it could be laying down flat, and
right.
A lot of them having to go out and get reels to try and pick it up. So it's a slow process and obviously may take some time, but hopefully if the weather cooperates, we had some warm weather to melt the snow off the stalks, and now that it's froze again on the ground, they're able to go again. So hopefully they could get finished before we get another bout of bad weather.
So what you're getting in today, is that actually a new harvest or coming out?
I would say it's still coming out of the field, sir.
Oh, holy. How much are you getting in today?
Well, we've had a pretty good run. Obviously, it's nowhere near the inbound amount of volume that we've seen during fall harvest, but for the most part, you're starting to see a little bit out of the bin and some out of the field. So most of the people that have corn to come in January out of the bin are choosing not to work on it yet,
right.
Given the cold temperatures. So the little we are taking in today is mostly coming straight out of the field.
What kind of moisture content has come in?
I would say it's still in the low 20s. I mean, not much has changed. I mean, that's kind of where we ended with when harvest did wrap up, you know, 2-3 weeks ago. For most people, we were in the 20 to 22% range on inbound moisture, and I'd say it's still about the same.
You've got a couple of big piles outside. How big are they?
I would say right now we've got a pretty good chunk out there. And for the most part, we're in the process of reclaiming as we speak. So we want to try and get it picked up as quickly as possible. The quality of the corn this year hasn't been good enough to leave it sit out there for an extended period of time.
So you're picking up and shipping, not redrying, right?
At the present time, you betcha.
You're hoping not to have to
redry. We're hoping not to have to do it again. We're already in the process where it doesn't seem like the dryers are ever going to go away and shut down.
All right, and your bids for the day are?
Cash corn tonight is 388, new crop of 2010, 415, cash soybeans 1034, new crop 2010, 980.
We're not quite done yet. I need to ask you a little bit about basis. How's it been hanging in for both corn and beans?
I would say basis has started to firm a little bit. Notoriously, you see it appreciate quite a bit when you come out of harvest when it ends the middle of November, but obviously when you're talking into December, it's taken it a while to get better, but it started to get that way for both commodities. I suspect corn's going to struggle to get much better than that moving forward because I expect pretty heavy movement in the next 2 to 3 months based on the quality concern on farm with the higher moisture content of this crop. So basis, I think, sideways trend here for both commodities for the foreseeable future.
Brian, thanks much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Brian Stark. He's with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Back in 2 minutes when we'll take a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. For the third consecutive month, the gauge of Illinois' economic health has shown weak signs of improvement. The University of Illinois Flash Index measures tax revenues during the previous month, and it checked in for December at 91.2, still well below the 100 level that separates economic growth from contraction. Economist Fred Gertz says even with the slight increase from November's 91 reading, the numbers still point to a very weak recovery, with revenue from sales taxes in December down from the same month of 2008. Gertz says that may indicate a sluggish Christmas shopping season for Illinois retailers despite a rosier report nationwide. Illinois State Police say now that one southbound lane of Interstate 57 is open to traffic after a truck of hogs overturned just past 10 this morning. The westbound ramp from I-74 to the interstate is still closed. State Police Master Sergeant Rory Seidel says it's still not known why the semi-trailer overturned just west of Champaign, but about 200 hogs were in the vehicle, and the U of I's veterinary clinic was on the scene to help with injured animals and euthanizing others. A local livestock owner was called in to help as well. The driver of the truck was not injured. Governor Pat Quinn has named Chicago Alderman Manny Flores as the new chairman of the Illinois Commerce Commission. Quinn announced the appointment at a news conference in Chicago, calling Flores hardworking and diligent. The governor says Flores will have a strong voice for consumers and focus on green initiatives. The ICC determines utility rates in Illinois. Flores says he's humbled and honored by the appointment, and he calls it a new challenge. He replaces Charles Box, whose term was to expire in January 2009. Box is the former mayor of Rockford. Consumer Advocacy Citizens Utility Board called Flores' appointment good news and says he's proven to be a strong, independent, and fair voice for consumers. International travelers arriving in Chicago say they're facing tougher security on U.S.-bound flights than at any time since the September 11th attacks. In the wake of an attempted Christmas Day's terror attack, airports around the world are supposed to step up security for passengers headed to the U.S. Passenger George Steffen says screeners at London's Heathrow Airport gave him a far more thorough pat-down than he's experienced before. I'm Jeff Bossert.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. On a Monday afternoon, time to check the agricultural weather forecast. The folks up at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, are on the line. Good afternoon to you, Mark Russo.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It is cold here in my part of the world and cold where you are and just about everywhere else in the United States, I think, is not?
Yeah, we've seen this influx of Arctic air. Actually, some of it associated with Siberian air that plunged its way into the country over the weekend and gripped basically the entire central and eastern U.S. The one spot that's missed out here is out west. West Coast temperatures have been mild and have not really partaken here with this our Arctic shot here. But nonetheless, it's cold here across the central and eastern U.S. and will remain that way here over the next 10 days as we see additional Arctic air masses flow down into the lower 48.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to stay cold and below average temperatures. Is that right?
Yeah, we're locked in this pattern over the next 10 days. Beyond 10 days, during the second half of next week, we do see some relaxation of the jet stream pattern, meaning at least less anomalous cold here in the lower 48, but still will be some lingering cold East Coast and as well as southern U.S. And here in the Midwest, actually, with the temperatures and the snow cover, that'll still linger. The coolness, although it will be at least closer to normal for mid-January standards, about 10 days out from now.
And one of the things that you and the folks there, Chesapeake Energy's weather office, specialize in is watching natural gas supplies and where they are and where they're available. Any problems that we see?
Not at this time here. Going into this winter, we had record supplies of natural gas. So even with this very cold December and now becoming a very cold January, well, we're burning off a bunch of that surplus, but we're likely still going to be ending up the winter time frame here with ample supplies, or at least nothing from a shortage standpoint. Now, regionally, as is always the case when we get into Arctic windows here, regional logistical issues, but we haven't heard of anything major at this time. But that's something to keep an eye on here as we get another Arctic blast here coming up later on this week.
Any major developments across the globe in some of the growing regions from the southern hemisphere?
Well, yeah, we're watching closely South America, in particular Brazil and Argentina now, as they are entering their yield-sensitive time frame for corn. at this time, there's just no sign of any problems here developing across really any portion of South America. Even up north, they're harvesting soybeans already in far northern areas of Brazil. They're still seeing some rain activity that could delay harvesting a little bit, but that's not any kind of issue at this stage of the season. Soy moisture reserves are adequate across the vast majority of acreage. So looks like we're going to be going through the first half of January without any issues. Actually, a change from the past couple of years, which featured dryness issues in parts of South America at this time. But that is not the case this year, Todd.
Mark, we'll talk with you again next week.
Sounds great, Todd. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Monday afternoon. You stay cold, rather stay warm this afternoon if you can. Don't get cold. Don't go outside. And if you've got animals, make sure you take care of them as well. Have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. You've been listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media.